the word here tonight. I couldn't get away from what I shared last prayer. We'll go to Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 just briefly. We'll start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It's a good place to start. Amen. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Verse 3, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Verse 4, "And God saw." Verse 5, "And God called." Verse 6, "And God said," God made, God called, God said. You can read on and on. And God. There's a lot of actions that God took here in the first couple chapters of the Bible. A lot of action. You go to chapter 2, and I believe it's starting in verse 7. "And the Lord God." "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." See, it seems like up until this point, it was the Lord, it was and God. But when man came on the scene, became Lord God. I thought that was really interesting right there. Goes from God to Lord God. There's a transition here. You may be seated. There's a transition that takes place when we start to give our all to God. We know that there is a God, but is he our Lord? See, God takes us from nothing, sets us up. We make our choices. We're not going to read throughout the book of Genesis here tonight, but he takes us. He forgives us, brings us to himself. It seems like he breaks up our flesh, our ways, our mind, our mental attitudes. You see, he doesn't just leave us the way we were. He shows us what we are like, what the world is like, and then shows us what we can be. Takes us, he shapes us, and then he creates us what he desires us to be. I'm not too sure exactly how to deliver this, so I'm just going to talk to you. Is that all right? I'm just going to talk to you tonight. But have you noticed that sometimes we put what God wants for us on this kind of a unicorn mystical level? You know, we think of all the people of faith that Hebrews talks about. You know, we set them up on this pedestal, and all these great deeds that they did, all these wondrous things that God worked in them and through them and with them on. But we forget that they were people just like us. One point in time, they barely knew God, and then they started to develop a relationship. They started to develop a walk with God. They started praying. They started seeking his face. But we tend to put this on this level where we think we can never reach, that it's too good for us, it's too great, it's so far beyond what we can manage that we are kind of freaked out by it or frustrated that we don't instantly become this super Christian. Now, I'm mostly saying this is what I do. Okay, I don't know what everyone else does exactly, but this, so many times we think, God, you've called me, I'm sure of that, but how can I be exactly what you want me to be? I want to seek your face. I want to know you. In Ezekiel chapter 37, it's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, God asks Ezekiel, he takes him to this place, this valley full of dry bones, this dead, nothing there, nothing good place. And he asks him. He asks Ezekiel if the bones could live. And I like Ezekiel's reply. It says, God, you know. He says, I know you're God. I know you're able. But I'm not too sure exactly what you're trying to do here. Okay? So we get from, I know he can, which is a good place to be, to, but I'm not sure if he will. So that's a dangerous place to be. We go from God, I'm surrendering myself to you, tell me what to do. And when we receive the word from God, it's like, are you sure, God? Is that really what you want? We know Ezekiel carried on. He spoke, and bone came to bone, flesh and sinew came upon them. And then God told him one more thing to do. He said, speak. Speak to them. God came and breathed the breath of life into them. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 8. Says, and it was so when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. What's going on here is that this great man, Naaman, he was this pretty important guy. And word was sent to the king of Israel, we're sending someone to you so that he can be healed. And, you know, Ahab, he's not someone that's really walking with God. He's not someone that's really terribly close with God. But Elijah tells him, you know what? There is a God. I know that God. Send him. Have no fear, you know. So, verse 9 says, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. Can you imagine that? This guy has a great procession, has all of his servants with him, splendor, standing at attention at the gate, the door of the prophet's house. Verse 10, and Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean. He doesn't even come out and greet him. Sends a messenger, says, this is what you need to do. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. So he already had a plan in his mind. He already had a plan. It didn't quite work out that way. Verse 12, and are not Abana and Phaphar, can't say it, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he went away. He turned and went away in a rage. He was given the word from the Lord, and he turned away and went in a rage because it wasn't his plan. It wasn't the way he thought it. He wanted it to be. We know the rest of the story. His servants convince him, saying, if it was the some great thing that you're supposed to do, wouldn't you have done it? This is simple. Just go ahead and do it. Of course, we know that he went, he washed, and he was made whole. Can you imagine that, though, having a tantrum because God doesn't operate the way you want him to? Yet there are some of us that do. See, it isn't always about us. Isaiah 55, verse 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, it's good that God doesn't work and move as we do. Otherwise, probably not a whole lot would get done, honestly. It wouldn't be perfect. It wouldn't be God's way. It would be our own way. Jeremiah 42, verse 6 says, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. You see, there's something that comes with being obedient to the word of the Lord. We may not always understand it at the moment. We may not always see what is going on. But we must be determined to obey God, whether it makes sense to us in the moment or not. So we can't see the whole picture. We only see a little sliver of it. We only see our through our own two eyes, what we hear through our own two ears. That's not really the whole picture. It could be as simple as reaching out to pray for someone in a different situation. It could be something simple. We don't always see why. We don't understand why always. But you get that little nudge in the spirit when we're praying here in the altar. Go pray for that person. Go touch on this subject. And it turns out just exactly what that person needed to be ministered to. And Aaron talked about it here this last Sunday. I can't tell you the amount of times that someone has come up and spoken into my life, been sensitive to the Spirit enough to come and help and minister. And God uses these people. But we must be determined to obey God whether it makes sense in the moment or not. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. We have a lot of scripture. We're going here fast. We're not going to be too long here tonight. But I think it's good to come and hear the word of the Lord here at church. Amen? Anywhere is really. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." So we don't always see things, like I mentioned before, the way God sees them. We can't always figure out exactly what he's trying to do. That's why it's so important to be sensitive to the will and word of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." This kind of brings it plain to us. If you're not following after God, if you're not being obedient to his leading, to his drawing, you're not really his servant. I was talking to Thomas here a few days ago, and we were talking about how the Christians were first named. And it wasn't that they called themselves Christians, it was that others called them Christians. It was someone else that took notice and said, "You know, I think you're the one following after God. I think you're following after this Christ. Because your life shows it. What you do shows it." See, what is our goal? Is our goal to have everything mapped out and sound great according to man's perspective, or is it to be obedient to the word of God? Is it to be obedient to what God is saying, what God is speaking into our lives? Galatians chapter 5. Verse 7, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" There's an encouragement to keep on going, to run this race. Not just to run this race, but there isn't anything that can hold us back so long as we are determined to reach for what God has for us. I'm reminded of the man that was found in the graveyard. Nothing could hold him back. The demons couldn't hold him back from reaching for the Lord, from coming and falling at Jesus' feet and saying, asking to be saved, to be delivered. Nothing can keep us from what God's will is in our life. What God really wants us to be doing is to seek his will, getting into his word, and once we know his will, it often becomes clear what he wants us to do. That's why when people say, "I don't know exactly what I should be doing," and it's like, are you reading your Bible? Because it tells us exactly what we need to do to be obedient to the word of God, to be obedient to the will of God. Yet it seems like God doesn't always tell us his will right away. It goes back to his plan being bigger than ours. There was a saying at IBC, Indiana Bible College, that said, "If you plan your life, you'll underplan it every single time." So God's got a bigger plan for us than we could ever imagine. It's big, it's scary, but it's perfect. It's perfect not just for you, but for those around you, those that you can minister to, those that are in your life that you can affect. Here, I can look over this audience and look at people that have blessed me in my walk with God. You have ministered to me in my life. Mark chapter 8, verse 29 says, "And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ." Peter's realization of this wasn't just for Peter. It's for those around him. It was a pretty big revelation to be given. See, this time he wasn't glorified. He hadn't gone to the cross. He hadn't risen again. But they started realizing not only is Jesus the real deal, he is the deal. He is God Almighty. Okay. Mark 8, verse 30, we're going to keep on reading for a little while. "And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again." This wasn't something easy that he was telling them. Something hard. Something that had to be done. It wasn't something that he could just put off or have someone else go through. Something that he had to do. Verse 32, and he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. This is kind of scary right here. Peter takes Jesus aside and starts to rebuke him. Can you imagine that? He didn't want Jesus to die. Who would want that? Right? But he starts to rebuke him. Verse 33, "But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan." That's pretty harsh. Coming from, "You're the Christ," to, "Get behind me, Satan." This great revelation that was Peter was blessed with. He says in verse 33, "For thou savorest not the things that be of God." You're not listening to me. You're not understanding what my will is. That's hard. "But the things that be of men." There was a level that Peter wasn't quite reaching yet. There was a level that he wasn't quite there. And he got rebuked. He was meaning well, but he didn't understand what Jesus was doing, the purpose, the plan. He got rebuked, and rightly so. Every once in a while, we may get a big rebuke. And we tell the kids and youth, you know, check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's a kind of a sometimes said flippantly. But really, we need to check and make sure that we are in line with the will of God. Check and make sure that we are following after his ways and not just thinking on our terms, on our way. So Peter messed up, and then he messed up again, denying Christ. Yet all of the special, super qualified people that we see in the upper room, he was the one that was chosen to deliver the apostolic message. The most famous sermon perhaps in the Bible, salvation message found in Acts chapter 2, culminating with verse 38. I'm sure all of us are familiar with that portion of Scripture. They asked Peter, you know, what's going on? He told them, what must we do to be saved? See, this message wasn't just for Peter. It wasn't just for those 120 that were in the upper room. Peter had a ministry. He had a purpose. He had a plan from God for his life. See, once we are surrendered to the will of God, filled with his Spirit, and understanding what is going on around us, God can trust us to follow through with his word. Can trust us to be obedient to him. And see, that's where I want to be. Understanding his ways are better than anything that I could think up, hope for, or even desire. Connected to what he has going on around us. Plugged into his will, his way. See, I want to be where he is. If the music could come. We could all stand together as well. We'll go to a few more verses of Scripture here. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." I love that presence that we felt here earlier today. And I know we're going to, in just a few moments, we're going to go on into his presence. But that moment when we decide that there is nothing more important than his will, his presence, his purpose in our life, that is where he can reach in and shape and mold and make us to what he desires us to be. When we can go and say, God, I'm surrendering to you whatever is going on. I may not understand it, but it has to be you. To be where Jesus wants us to be, in his presence, to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want. That is our goal. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Brother Mario shared a scripture, portion of scripture here with me earlier today. Colossians 4, verse 17. Brother Mario, if you could bring that again. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. I thought that was so fitting to what we're doing here, what we're doing throughout this next year. God's desire in each of our lives. And it reads, "And say unto Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast delivered in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Each of us has been given something from God, a ministry to fulfill. There's not one of us that are left out. You have the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with his Spirit, walking in his ways. You have a ministry. You have a purpose in God that God desires you to fulfill. If we could all come here to the front, to the altar. You have a purpose. God has a plan for your life, whatever area of life you're in. God has a plan. He has a purpose. Let us come and seek his face together. Amen.